show today with a quiz. Who knows where Satan is? Yes, call now. Operators in the bunker will be standing by. Where is Satan right now? All right, you think about that. And I'm going to read another quote from A. Enoch on page 6 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Then I want you to think about where Satan is, because we're going to talk about how this coming unveiling of Jesus Christ is going to affect the spiritual world. And do they have a vested interest in the events coming? Remember, I said that we're so used to thinking, what does it mean to me, my family, my church, my country? And I said, let's raise our viewpoint. I said, let's see what this means to God. Let's see what this means to Christ. Let's see what this means to humanity. And now I want to know what it means to the spiritual world. Where are they? What are they doing? What have they been doing? What will they be doing? From page 6 of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Let us never lose sight, then, of God's grand goal. And we talked about that yesterday. I took you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Told you that it's God's plan to be all in all. Took you to Colossians chapter 1. And I said that everything created in the heavens and the earth is going to be reconciled. The same all Christ created. Christ, through his blood, is going to make peace. And he's in the business of reconciling the world to himself. And the tribulation is the beginning of that. It puts a whole new slant on the tribulation. Tribulation is the beginning of God reconciling the world to himself. Well, okay, technically the cross was the beginning of it. Well, technically, God had this plan in mind before the disruption of the world. But as I said, we're in a crisis of eons here. We're not only in the crease between eons 3 and 4, but between the 3 wicked eons and the 2 good eons. So lots is coming, and all it's going to take is a little crisis, also known as the tribulation. Let us never lose sight of God's grand goal, which he will gain through the mediatorial kingdom and priesthood of his anointed, Christ Jesus our Lord. Every vision, every trumpet, every woe, every bowl heralds the fact that Christ is to be crowned the great priest king, that so he may bring back God's lost creation to the Father. Every single trial, every single bowl of wrath, every woe, every trumpet that brings disaster in the book of Revelation heralds the fact that Christ is going to be crowned. There is a coronation coming. I'm involved in a study in the book of Revelation now in my newsletter, and I've told you that the purpose of the first 2 chapters of Romans is to set the stage. Paul is decimating humanity in the first 2 chapters of Romans. He's talking about how there's no one righteous, no, not one. And the Jew says, well, at least we're righteous. And then Paul takes the case of the Jew. He says, no, you're actually worse. You know, you're actually worse because you have the oracles, you have the light. And because you think you're something, you're really nothing. And so he's decimating the whole of humanity in order to silence the room, to announce what God has done through Christ, to announce the evangel. He has to bar every mouth, shut every mouth, keep people from defending themselves. Everybody just wants to say, but what about us? What about us? Shut up, everybody. And now I'm going to announce the gospel to you. And he does it in chapter 3, verse 21. It's the same with Revelation. People, everybody has an opinion. Have you ever seen the beginning of the movie Contact with Jodie Foster? It's so awesome. They start with a close-up view of the earth. Go ahead and YouTube it. Contact Jodie Foster. I've never seen the whole... Yes, I did. I watched the whole movie. It's terrible. Just watch the first 5 minutes. They show a close-up of the earth, and there's all this noise and all this chaos, and there's traffic and cars and hubbub and electronic static, and then the camera pans backward, and you start to get into a bird's eye view. Then you get into an airplane's eye view. Then you get into a satellite eye view. And as the camera goes back and back farther into space, you get through the Earth's atmosphere, and everything's dead quiet. And it is so epic to have everything finally shut up. And then you, as the camera goes back, and then you get past like the Earth and the Mars, and then you get past Neptune, and and Pluto, and then you're pulling back even farther, and then you see Earth's solar system and its place in the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. It's like, wow. Then the camera keeps going back, this hypothetical camera keeps going back. Then you see that the Milky Way is only one galaxy in an unbelievable, unimaginable series, cluster of galaxies. And everybody's shutting up at that point. And then if you hear this stupid person talking on a cell phone, if you would go back to the first frame of that sequence, how stupid is it? How stupid is the noise and the distraction? And it's like, okay, God, do what you have to do to shut everybody up so that you can have glory. Well, if you would put a microphone on this earth, everybody's just chattering away. They're clucking like hens. Nobody knows anything of what they're talking about. They're stupid. I mean, YouTube, I saw a magnet for a kitchen for your refrigerator recently. I'm paraphrasing it. It says something like YouTube, you know, making idiots famous every day, something like that. Idiots become famous every day on this planet because this planet is wasted, man. This planet is getting dumber by the day, and nobody cares about God anymore. And people think God's forgotten about us. He's put us all here on the back burner, and what's going to become of it? God is going to strike an epic blow, and suddenly everybody's going to pay attention. You know when you watch a scary movie, and the people are in their living room, and they're watching television, and the radio's on, and the kids are, and all of a sudden something happens. There's a storm or something, and the electricity goes out, and the TV shuts off, and the radio shuts off, and suddenly you're cut off, and there's nothing but silence. That's scary. Most people have their TVs on because they're scared to death of silence. They're scared to death of confronting their own thoughts. They're scared to death of confronting God. And so people drive him from their lives. And they do it with television. They do it with the internet. They do it with every artificial means imaginable, with junk food. I don't care, whatever. And God is going to put an end to all that. What's going to happen when you can't get to the ice cream store? What's going to happen to me when I run out of peanut M&Ms, right? But I'm already anticipating that day, see. So you and I are both doing that. We're anticipating the day when silence is going to come and humanity is going to be confronting the face of God. And YouTube is not going to work. And their cell phones aren't going to work. And they're going to have no preparation whatsoever for it. No spiritual preparation. No warning, because it's going to come as a thief in the night. And when they're saying peace, peace, then destruction is lying at their door. And they're not going to know what to do. But we are prepared by the grace of God. That's why we're holding on loosely to things we have. Because God is going to shut every mouth, and it's going to take a violent shaking. And the analogy is given like the earth is reeling to and fro as a drunkard. And this earth is going to be shook like it's never been shook before. And your cell phone's going to break. And then what are you going to do? Then what are you going to do? The spirit world is more attuned and more astute and more aware of what is going on than the inhabitants of the earth. Because the inhabitants of the earth are being dumbed down by the spirit world. The spirit world has a vested interest in earth. And to go back to the quiz, did anybody figure out where Satan is? He's in heaven right now. He's in the celestial spheres. He's not cast out of heaven until midway through the book of Revelation. So how is he the captain of hell? How is he sitting on some metal throne in front of some boiling cauldron in some infernal netherworld when he's in heaven? Theology has everything wrong. Christian theology has everything wrong. Satan is in heaven right now, and he's orchestrating the events of earth. And the people on earth are but pawns in a vast system of deception and lies and putting people to sleep to make them unaware. Because, ladies and gentlemen, the body of Christ is destined to rule over the realm where Satan now is. We're going to inhabit his realm. We're going to go there and usurp his throne. You think he's happy about that? No, he's pissed. And he's going to do everything he can to keep anybody from becoming a member of the body of Christ. And in the days of indignation, the day of revelation, we're going to see this. Satan is going to be cut loose, and he's going to know that his time is short, and he's going to wreak havoc. But again, if you're aware of the mystery of law, the secret of lawlessness is that evil running rampant is going to have a pleasant, righteous face. And all this is coming on this earth. I wanted to tell you about the end of the spiritual world. I'm just telling you, I just touched briefly upon their interest in the earth. They're interested, and Satan doesn't know everything. This is shocking, really, how little he knows, because he thinks he can undo the plan. We're going to see how he's going to do that, attempt to do it. But don't think for a second that Satan is in some fictional Christian hell. He's in heaven right now. He's orchestrating this divine mess down here. It's all part of the plan. And Satan himself, through the beginning of these trials, is going to end up bowing the knee to God. We're going to look at that tomorrow. Be here then.